Good evening, everyone. Good evening, 7 p.m. service. You know what? I was told that this service was the most energetic, lively service there is out of all the four services. You know what? Thank you so much, guys, for making time. It's 7 p.m. and all that. And, you know, as what Philip and Jenty were saying a while ago, today is a special Sunday. Let me just introduce myself for those of you who are new here. And usually I'm in a 10 a.m. service, so maybe not many of you know me. My name is Tom. I'm one of the campus missionaries. Right now, I'm the campus director overseeing our campus ministry here in Victory, Dumaguete. And let me show a picture of me and my wife, Haya. She's also one of our campus missionaries, along with Nuts and Mav, and one of our upcoming campus missionaries, si John. Yes, John is one of our upcoming campus missionaries. And with this team, we are going to the campuses, reaching the next generation. And this Sunday, talking about the next generation, it's all about giving time to remind ourselves of one of the things we value as a church and as a movement. Every time we talk about values, you know, every person has a different set of values. If you ask people, especially from where they come from, they would have a different set of values, sa ilang family. My wife, you know, if you would ask her, one of the things she and her family values is travel. That every time it's rest day, it's day off, she would want to go to places. Kami naman sa family, namo, kaysa akong brother, we simply love to stay at home, staycation me. Anyone love that staycation in yung hilig? Yeah. So, different things. If you ask Mav naman, bro, say value nino, bro? Okay, good looks daw, ilang values ng family. Maybe for some, okay, music, whatever. Different set of values. But in this church, in this spiritual family, one of the things we highly value, one of the things that we'll never get tired of doing, okay, or running after, is the next generation. We value the next generation. Can you just tell your seatmate, we value the next generation. Now, who is or what is the next generation? That is the students, the ones in the campuses. So if you're a high school student, a senior high student, a college student, you are the next generation. And we value you guys. If you're sitting next to a student, if you're sitting next to any level of student, can you just tell them, we value you. Okay? And that's why we have this one-part topic or sermon called Game Changer. It's all about knowing that our students, they are game changers. Now, before we get to that, what is a game changer nga ba? And why we entitle this topic Game Changer? A game changer, according to our dear friend Miriam, okay, says here na a game changer is a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Okay? It's anything that you introduce to a current situation that it completely changes, okay, that very situation. Say, for example, anyone here, you're into sports or you're sitting next to someone athletic. You're sitting next to an athletic person, okay, a sporty judge, you know, champion sa Jackstone, you know, holds the world record for Chinese garter, unbeatable for the past 10 years. Anyone here? Anyone like that, okay? But let's say you're playing a game. Let's say Mav, John Angel, me, si Philip, and my brother team. Let's say kami, okay? We're part of this basketball team. Okay, like inter-barangay basketball team. Anyone had ever experienced that? Let's say we're playing a game, but unfortunately, we're losing. Okay, we're down 30 points. Grabe, 30 points, Jude. So our coach calls a substitution, and no, he subs one of us, and he brings in a player. And he brings in this guy to our team, this guy right here. Si nagdula mis daro, gidala siya sa coach namo. Okay, then comes this guy. Now, whether you're a fan of him or not, and I'm not really a LeBron fan, but how many of you would agree that if this guy were to play in our team, he would drastically change the very nature of the game. He would change the outcome. Na kung before, kung 30 points behind, at least man lang, may mong 10 points behind, 5 points behind, he would change our whole momentum. He would change the nature of the game. That's what we mean by being a game changer. Someone who radically changes the specific situation. Not just in sports, okay? Although sports is the most common example. But even in the tech industry. How many of you are familiar with this gadget right here? The iPhone. When it was released, it revolutionized the tech industry. The whole mobile phone thing, it revolutionized. That changed the very nature of the mobile phone industry. When this thing was released, okay, it had touch screen, it had just one button, it has so many radically different features that again, it changed the tech industry. Not just iPhone, but Facebook, for example. It changed the way we communicate with people. Now, nowadays, some of us, we can't live without logging into our Facebook accounts. We have friends like that na almost every 5 minutes check na ba update. Some of them naglakaw-lakaw sa downtown. Tingnan mo, ano gana siya? Na-check ko Facebook. But it completely changed our culture. These are just some examples of game changers. And here today, I'm going to tell us that another example of a game changer are the next generation. The students, the young people you see today here with you, here in this main hall, the young people you see everywhere, they are game changers. They are a group of people who will radically transform not just this nation of the Philippines, but other nations as well. And you know, maybe for some of us here today, when we think about the next generation, when we think about students, when we think about teenagers, what are the first things that comes to our mind are sometimes unpleasant thoughts. When we hear those words, teenagers, students, sometimes we think na, ah, mga langas man na sila. Mga selfish man na sila, puro na selfie-selfie, okay? Puro na OOTD, puro na picture-picture, tambay-tambay lang, wala ginabuhat. Loud, annoying, okay? Immature. Sometimes we have those filters. When we think of the next generation, those thoughts immediately pop up in our minds. But I'm here to tell us, to challenge us, that rather than dwell or label them as such, I want us to see them in a different light. That the students are in fact game changers. That they are in fact, they have so much potential and they are more than the negative things we just label them on. Okay? This topic here for us tonight is all about answering the question, why the next generation? Why put so much value on them? Why is it that every time on a Sunday when you come here to worship God, one of the announcements is always youth service, high school class. Why do we put so much premium on the students? This is what this installment is all about. Why the next generation? And how much of a difference can this group of people make? Those are some of the questions we're going to answer tonight. And for that, we're going to read a story of a person, okay, from the Bible, specifically one of the kings of Israel. His name is Josiah. And 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 to 3, it says there, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem and of the high places, the ashram and the carved and metal images. Now, before we get to the story of Josiah, before we get to the main person himself, let's take a look at his background. Kumbaga kung main movie yung life, let's take a look at the prologue muna. Let's get to know who was his family, okay? Specifically, his father and his grandfather. And this is very crucial as we get to understand Josiah. Firstly, in the Bible, if you read the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, okay, you would come to understand, or you come to know that his grandfather and father was Manasseh and Amon. And, you know, Manasseh and Amon were kings in Judah. And one thing that these two had in common, one terrible or sad description these two had in common was that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay? They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. His grandfather, his father before him, even though he were the king of the Jews, okay? Even though they were leaders in the nation of Judah, and their responsibility was to lead people to follow and obey God, they were misleading the people. They were doing what was sinful. They were doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, Amon, his father, the Bible describes him as such. In verse 22, it says there, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh, his father, had done. Now, what this verse here tells us that Amon practically, simply, followed what his father did. The reason why Amon was doing evil in the sight of the Lord was because he was following in his father's footsteps. Now, why am I sharing this? What's my point in taking time to share this before Josiah? For all of us here today, especially for the current generation, if you're working here today, if you're married, you have kids, you're a teacher, if you're not a student, you might think, okay, this preaching is not for me. I have nothing to do with these guys. What I beg to differ, this preaching right here is also for you. In fact, critically so. Because whether we like it or not, whether we intentionally do so or not, all of us here today, look around your seatmates, all of you affect or influence the next generation. All of us here today greatly affect how the next generation is going to grow. We are all shaping the very nature, the very act of the next generation. Look at Amon. How did he grow up? By following in his father's footsteps. He was looking at what his father did. Akat mo nagibot ni Papa. Everything that his father did, everything that his father spoke, how his father fought, he would look closely at his father. And that's why the Bible described him as such, that he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as his father had done. Bringing it home for us here today, right now in our society, it means that for all of us, there's always a next generation after you. There's always a next generation, there's always a student, there's always a young person following in your footsteps, looking closely at your life. You might think, na Tom, am I taking my hands off of this thing? I have nothing to do with these guys. You know what? Again, your life greatly affects the next generation. The way you act, the way your post in social media, your rants in Facebook, your tweets, your texts, the way you deal with your relationships, your friends, your family members, your coworkers, the way you handle your finances, the way you deal with all the things in your life, the way you lead your life, the students, the young people, they are looking closely at you. Then they are simply learning from you. You know, there's a saying that it's more caught than taught. You know what, young people, they're so trainable, they're so moldable, they're looking closely at everything that we do. I have a picture here of my family. That's my family right there, along with my wife. And the one in green is my other brother, Ted. My brother, Ted, he has autism. And one thing we've recently discovered about my brother is that every time we come to talk about him, whenever we get together, whenever I would visit my family, ask how he is, my mother told me just recently that every time we'd come to talk about him, every time his name would be brought up, he would come to cover his ears. In other words, he's just listening. Amidst his condition, he knows na pagsurahan niya may kabahin niya, mutabo siya sa dalunga niya. Again, what's my point in sharing this? The next generation are looking closely at our lives. They are watching, listening at how we live our lives. It's not a question of whether we want to reach out the next generation or not. The question is, what are we doing in the lives of the next generation? What kind of impact are we putting in their lives? What are we teaching them? What are we giving them? Everywhere you go in the city, if you go to Robinson's, if you go to Lee Plaza, you would come to meet the next generation. You would come to meet students. Go to Lee Plaza. I tell you, there would not be a day you would look around and not see, you know, students, whether high school, senior high, or college, or even grade school. Go to Robinson's. Go to these places. Even right now, here in this church, we are filled with students. Okay? We have students. Everywhere you go, you are surrounded with young people. In fact, our nation of the Philippines, the median age right now in our nation is 24 years old. And if I remember my math right, median meaning tunga-tunga, di ba? Nas tunga, ang 24. Meaning that's like half of our population is below 24. We are a nation of young people. We are a nation of the next generation. And that being so, if half of our population are the next generation, then this is no sideline issue. This isn't something that we can just, you know, put in the size and say, you know what, unyara mo, you're not important. This is something of value. This is something really important. The next generation are valuable. And we need to pass on the right things to them. So going to Josiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1 says there, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. 8 years old. Okay? Can you remember what your life was when you were 8 years old? But anyone here, no, you were leading something when you were 8 years old. Parang boss mo sa imong classroom nimo, okay? You're the class president ba or vice president, you're a leader or something. You know what? Josiah at 8 years old. Whenever I think of 8 years old, di ba? Maglantog TV, magcolor, magkaon-kaon, tambay somewhere. Josiah at 8 years old was leading an entire nation. That's like him being our president right now. 8 years old. Okay? And why do we need to reach out the next generation? With this first line palang, we need to reach out the next generation because they are the future leaders of our society. Josiah, though he was young, very young, 8 years old, okay? I got to talk to a 10-year-old kanina and I was thinking, okay, Josiah was even younger than this person. Imagine that. Though he was young, he was the future leader. He was the next in line king, sa yung father Amon. But when his father Amon died, he was then next in line. He became king. The next generation are our future leaders. All of the future leaders of our society here today, you know, our future bankers, our future doctors, our future lawyers, our future policemen, politicians, all these people, they are in the campus right now. Diba? Students, so many here, you're believing that you are a future engineer, mga students. Diba? Even here, you're a future doctor, future nurse, future accountant or manager. All of these guys, the future leaders of our society, right now, they are studying in the campus. And if we want to have godly leaders in our nation, if we want to put the right kind of leaders in our nation, you know what? Every time you ask someone in the Philippines, what's the number one problem sa Philippines, corruption and all that, people would say, you know what? Kung ano mga tawhana ni sa gobyerno and all that. If we want to have the right kind of people in our government, as leaders in our nation, in different sectors of our nation, we need to reach out the next generation. Because they are our future leaders. These are not just people that when they graduate, there's nothing they can do. No, they are so full of potential. Young as they are, they can accomplish so many things. Okay, history has many examples to show it. Take a look at this. Horatio Adams, okay? He's the guy who invented the bubble gum. And guess how old he was? Yes, I know, he looks old. The picture, okay? Sorry, wala Instagram sa unang panahon. He invented the bubble gum when he was age 15. At 15 years old, well, most students at 15 are studying, trying to finish school. At age 15, he was an inventor. He created the bubble gum. Anyone here, parang listen sa imo, may imagine ang world without bubble gum? Parang weird, di ba? Not just that, Blaise Pascal, he invented the modern-day calculator. Not the digital one, but katong mechanical pang calculator. He did so at the age of 19. Louis Braille, okay, this guy, he invented the Braille system. That's what blind people used to read. Guess what? How old he was? At the age of 15. 15 years old, he invented the Braille system that so many blind people worldwide are using. They're reaping the benefits of an invention or a system created by a 15-year-old guy many years ago. Not just that. Okay, of course, many of you know this guy, Mark Zuckerberg, the creator of Facebook, your favorite social media. He did so at the age of 19. Now he's already a billionaire. Next one, Jack Andraka. You know what's pretty interesting about this guy? He created a way, he had a breakthrough in medical science. He devised a way to detect pancreatic cancer in its early stages. And he did it at an age of 15 years old. Had a breakthrough in medical science, 15 years old. Next one, Veronica Roth. Okay, for those of you who are into books, novels, the woman who wrote the Divergent series did so in her early 20s. If you're here today and you're believing that, a best-selling author one day, anyone, muna yung dream ninyo, you want to be a best-selling author. You want your books to become movies one day. Okay? That's actually one of my dreams, to write a novel one day. But this person right here did so at her early 20s. Okay? Chad Hurley, Steve Chen, founders of YouTube, creators of YouTube, they did so at their early 20s. Now, all of us here today, we benefit, we use YouTube, you watch videos, whether that be about news, movies, or whatever, video clips, we use YouTube. All because of these guys at their 20s created something for us. What's my point in sharing this? The next generation are a group of people with so much potential. And they're the future leaders again. They are pioneers. They are changing the very landscape, the very nature of how we do things. Without these guys, okay, we wouldn't have Facebook right now. We wouldn't have bubblegum right now. We wouldn't have all those inventions, those benefits right now. It's all because of the next generation. The next generation are so full of potential. Going on in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, moving forward with Josiah's story. Why else should we reach the next generation? It says here, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Unlike his father, unlike his grandfather, Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And walk in the ways of David, his father, his ancestor David. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim and metal images. Josiah, young as he was, because he believed in God, because he valued God, because he was obeying and following God, and he was determined to do so, he changed the very cultural practices of his nation. That he tore down, katong mga Asherim, mga carved metal images, those are idols. Those are all the sinful things that his nation were doing. Okay? The Jews, being the people of God, they should have worshipped God as a one true God. But what they were doing, because of their leaders as well, they were worshipping idols. They were doing sinful things. And Josiah wanted nothing of it. He wanted to purge. To purge means to cleanse. Okay, ever had, dirty laundry? You really wanted to wash away the stain? Napakinig mong kuskus niya mo para lang mawala siya? Josiah wanted to do that with his nation. He purged his nation. He took away everything sinful, all the ashram, all the metal images. Again, why am I sharing this? We need to reach the next generation because the values of the next generation will become the values of our society. That's how influential the next generation are. If we want to know what our society will be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now, if we want to know what it will be look like, we simply need to look at our campus. What do the students listen? What are they listening to? What are they watching? What are they reading? What do they like? What they like eating? Unsay hilig sa mga estudyante? You want to know what our nation will be like years from now? Look at what the students are valuing. The values of the students will become the value of our society. That's how influential the next generation are. And if you're a student here today, you might be thinking, Kuya Tom, how can that be? How can I be so influential? Unlike those people you just shared a while ago, kasi lang Mark Zuckerberg, itong mga inventors, you know what? I'm just an ordinary high school or college student. Midterms, ganyan ako, mag-resod na ako. Diba? Anyone here, ang upcoming midterms soon? Diba? Anyone here, you're dreading, you're bracing for your midterms? Okay, we'll pray for that later. But you know what? Regardless of your status, your course, your track, okay? Whatever kind of student you are, being the next generation, you have that potential to influence the people around you. Do you know how influential the next generation are? Let me give an example. Anyone here, you had that experience na you're with your family, you're deciding where to go, where to eat. Let's say, gikan mo service or you did an activity somewhere. You're planning where to eat. I mean, after the decision making and all that, you end up going kung asa ang, you know, bunso ninyo, ganahan mo kaon. Anyone here, you had that experience? Wherever the kid wants to go to eat, you go where to eat. Diba? Usually Jollibee, McDo, okay, Happy Meal, Kiddy Meal. Or this one, okay? Let's say you go to a mall. Anyone here, you ever wondered, have you ever noticed this as well? If you go to a mall, let's say a multi-story mall, not just one story lang. If you go to a mall, the toy stores, okay, or the children's department, yung mga toy stores specifically, they are not placed sa first floor. Imanay mo na. If you go to Robinson's, go to Lee Plaza, even Kang's yata, okay? If you go to these places, the toys are not placed in the first floor. Do you know why? Because mall makers or mall owners or designers, they know just how influential young people are. They know that if a family goes to a mall with their kids, they know that one place these people will definitely go when they go to a mall is the toy department, is the toy section. And as they go to the mall, they put it at the topmost floors. They say, okay na, ato ta sa toy section. As you're going through that toy section, as you're trying to walk towards that place, you see things. Uy, nak, time sa, dito sa ta, can I sail dere? Uy, nak, dere sa ta, kay, no, palit sa si mama dere. Uy, nak, dere sa ta, kay, si papa, nek, paliton. They know that if they put that stores at that upper levels, the kids of the families, they would do anything and everything to bring their parents to the toy department. No matter how many detours they would pass. So in other words, it's beneficial actually for the mall owners. The mall owners know how influential young people are. That's how influential you guys are. Diba? Whether you're introvert or not, whether you consider yourself famous or not, young students, you are influential. How many people like your status on Facebook? Okay? Diba? Facebook pa lang, social media pa lang. You are influencing people with your posts. That's how influential you are. Young people here today, our very history of our nation was shaped by many young people. For example, this right here, okay? Emilio Jacinto, one of the brains of the Katipunan, was a strategist as well. He was an editor of a magazine called Ang Kalayaan. He was a major contributor of the Katipunan. He did so at age 19. The next person, si Gregorio del Pilar, one of the youngest generals of our nation, died before the age of 25. These people contributed, shaped our history, greatly influenced our history, young as they are. Josiah was just like that. And you, if you're a student here today, you're just like that. You are capable of influencing our very society. You're capable of influencing, you know, not just even Dumaguete. Because when you reach the next generation, you even get to influence the other nations. When you reach the students in the campus, you also get an opportunity to make an impact in other nations. Let me give you an example. You know how our church in Nepal got birthed or how we ended up having an EN or Every Nation Church in Nepal? Because Nepalese students, you know, attended or went to UP They studied in UP. They got discipled, connected to our victory group. And when they went back to Nepal, started doing victory groups in their own nation. It grew, and it, to cut the long story short, it eventually became a church. So many other stories of our churches in other nations started that way. It started with students coming to the Philippines to study. They got discipled. When they went back, started discipling their nation. You make an impact in the other nations when you reach the students here in the campuses. That's how influential the students are. The reason now, but we have a church plant in Bohol, okay? For those of you who are from Bohol, we have a church plant in Bohol. It's because two of our leaders before, okay, when they were students, they got reached out, they got discipled. When they went back to Bohol, when they worked, they started doing victory groups. And those victory groups grew. It became a community, and now it is a church. Now we sent someone there to pastor and lead the church there in Bohol. All because of students who got discipled in the campus, who got reached out in the campus. Many of you know that a few weeks ago, one of our friends from Pakistan, Irej, is now here studying in Silliman. That guy got reached out in our church in Pakistan because the couple who planted our church in Pakistan, the wife was a Silliman student. She was one of the first five people ever reached out by victory here in Dumaguete. She got discipled, graduated, worked in Manila, got married, and eventually she and her husband heard the call from God to go to Pakistan and plant a church there. Now they're changing, influencing, reaching out the nation of Pakistan. Then she started out as a simple student in Silliman University. What's my point in sharing all these things? The next generation are highly influential. The impact that you make in the life of the next generation, there's no telling what's going to happen. There's no telling how far it's going to go. Simply, you know, meeting the next generation, simply reaching out the next generation. Josiah was only 8 years old when he started to become a king. He was 16 when he started seeking God, and in his 20s when he started purging the nation. He was young, and yet he was able to accomplish so many things. Not only the nations, but when you reach out the next generation, it also opens doors to reach out to the families of those next generations. When you reach a student, you touch his or her family. I don't know if you're believing for household salvation. You're believing for your family to get to know God. You know, just to encourage you guys, we've had so many stories of families, you know, getting to hear the gospel, getting to hear about God, all because one of their family members was a student and that student got discipled. I have some pictures right here. The one in the upper right, the Gumandols, okay? They actually come from a Muslim background. But this family right here, okay, the siblings, all of them got reached out, got discipled because one of their siblings, I think the second eldest daughter, studied here in Dumaguete. She got discipled. And so every time one of her siblings would come to Dumaguete and study, she would plug them to the church. And so now they're believing for their father na lang, right, to become a Christian. It all started with just one student, with just one family member. The one at the bottom, the Kalinas, okay? One of them is actually one of our church staff, si Alzen. It all started with their elder sister or elder siblings nila. And because of that, same story, every time one of them would come to Silliman or come to Dumaguete, study here, they would get discipled. They would get reached out and get plugged in the church. And so eventually, all the siblings are now attending our church. All the siblings are now believing and following God. And you know, the Tevez family as well, pretty much the same story. Their two daughters joined our youth service, got discipled, joined the victory group. And right there, the topmost person right there, that single student right there is CJ, our high school student. You know what's amazing thing about this guy? He's actually here being part of the tech. This guy got connected by joining our high school blast. He was invited in our high school blast. And what's amazing about his story is that he connected for victory group, for one-to-one, got discipled. And in the course of doing so, his sister approached us, actually asked him rather first, and approached Haya, that she wanted, okay, to also get discipled. Her sister wanted to know more about God. And we asked her why. Simply because she saw the change that was in her brother's life. She got to see that, man, late na akong brother na ako. And she said, na, I want what my brother had. I want what's in my brother. And right now, she's going through one-to-one. She's joining a victory group. She's attending high school classes. She's growing in her relationship with God. All because it started with her brother. When you reach the next generation, it opens so many doors for the family. If you're a student here today, if you're the first Christian in your family, guess what? you are an open door to the blessings in your family. You're an open door. You bring blessings to your family. Okay? Now, the sad thing, talking about Josiah. Josiah did so many things. He purged his nation. He cleansed his nation. He was able to do so many good works for his nation. But the sad thing about Josiah, as he continued to do good works for God, is that he made one mistake. As much as he tried to be obedient to God, follow God, did so many great things to him, one thing Josiah missed out was reaching the next generation. Because what happened after his reign, okay, the Bible says that during his reign, during his days, the people did no sinful thing. The people were obedient and loyal and faithful to God. But after his reign as king, in the Bible, his next heirs, the next kings of Israel, pretty much did what their forefathers did before them. I have a table here that shows his sons and his grandson. These are his heirs. What happened after Josiah died as king? Jehoiakim, his son, followed after him. And there's a description of the Bible about him. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Pretty much just like his grandfather and great-grandfather. His other son, Zedekiah, also did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And his grandson, Jehoiachin, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. All of his descendants were as bad as his forefathers, his father and his grandfather. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And why is that so? Because Josiah missed out to pass on what he valued to the next generation. Everyone here, you've ever joined or was part of a relay race? Anyone here? I have a picture right there of a relay race. A relay race is not a simple race. It's a team effort. It's a team sport. Okay? You run, you pass the baton to someone. And you know, one of our pastors in Manila was sharing this story now. When he was younger, he and his brother, they joined a relay race. And when the signal was given, at the start of the race, his brother ran so fast, his elder brother ran so fast that he was ahead of all the rest of the competitors. When it came to his turn, his brother was coming up to him. He was about to pass the baton. When he asked for the baton, he realized na, uy, asang baton? Ay, walay baton. Walay baton. So what they did, his brother simply told them, go, go, just run, just run, just run, okay, before they catch up. So he ran as fast as he could. When he went to his next teammate, he did the same thing. Just go, just run as fast as you can. On and on to the next teammate until they crossed the finish line. They finished the race first. But unfortunately, because they didn't have the baton with them, though they were the first persons to cross the finish line, they were disqualified. It was in a relay race. Yes, you need to be first. You need to be running as quick as you can, but you also need to carry the baton with you. Without it, you miss the point of the race. And what the same thing has happened to Josiah. As he was doing things for God, he missed out passing his values, his relationship with God, his obedience to God, his faithfulness to God. He missed out passing that to the generation after him. He missed out passing that to his son, to his grandson. And so all his efforts, it became null and void. It was all wiped away by the generations after him. That's what happens when you miss out reaching the next generation. We could accomplish so many things. You know, we could change our country, our nation, the other nations right now in this current generation. But if we don't reach out to the next generation, the generation after us will not continue what we've started. All of your efforts will be in vain. We need to reach out the next generation. That being said, what can we do? Or what should we do? Hearing these things, hearing the story of Josiah, talking about the value of the next generation, their influence, their potential, how it affects you and me, even if we're not parents right now, what should we do with the next generation? Simple. We need to invest in the next generation. What do you mean by invest in the next generation? I mean, pour out our lives in the next generation. When was the last time you spent time with students? Get to talk to them. Spend time with them. Invest in them. Bless them. Impart things to them. Teach them. Coach them. Mold them. There's so many things we can do to the next generation. But the one thing that we could all do to the next generation the best thing we can do to the next generation is to preach to them the gospel. Is to let them hear the good news that there is a God who loves them. To preach the gospel to them. Because all of those things that Josiah did, it all started with his relationship with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verse 3 says there, "For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father." When he was still a boy, in the eighth year, when he was 16 years old, he began to seek God. Take a look at this. When he was 8 years old, he began to reign as king. When he was 16 years old, he began to seek God. When he was 20 years old, he purged the nation of idolatry. When he was 26 years old, he repaired the temple. All of his achievements, it all started with him seeking God. For him to become a game changer, a world changer, for him to influence not just his own city, but the many cities, his nation, he needed first to seek God. For all the young people here today, if you want to become game changers the way God called you to be, the only way to do so is through Jesus, is through Christ. The next generation can only be the game changers God called them to be through Christ. It is through Christ. It's through Christ that we do so. Take a look at this, John chapter 3, verse 16. You all know this verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish." You know, sometimes when you hear of the young students, sometimes we tend to put down their challenges, their struggles, the obstacles that they're facing. Okay na, tuntun rin ang problema nila. But you know what? When I get to sit down, get to hear from the stories of these young students, a lot of them are going through big things. For some of them, they're desperately believing for provision, for healing. Some of them are believing for blessing in their household. Kay gubot ang balay nila. Some of them are going through depression. They feel lonely. They feel sad. Some of them feel hopeless in life. Some of them feel suicidal. So many things that a young student goes through in the campus. And there's one common thing that they all need. They all need to hear the gospel. They all need to hear that there's a God who loved them so much that He was willing to do so much to win them back, to save them. That there's a God who loved them so much that this God gave up His one and only Son to die on the cross for their sins. That for the students here tonight, if you're a student, you're here tonight, you're carrying so much guilt, so much shame, so much hopelessness, so much despair in your life, in your heart. Guess what? There is hope. There is good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That because of that, there is hope in your life. And that is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says there, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." For anyone who is hoping, believing, claiming to start a new life in the campuses or even not just in campuses, for everyone here rather, it all starts with that encounter with Jesus. And that is why we invest so much in the next generation here. That is why we have victory groups in the campuses. That is why we have youth services. We have high school class. That is why we do so much for the students, because we want them to hear the gospel. Just yesterday in Manila, there was a conference attended by 5,000 student leaders from different victory churches. We did that, all of that, with the intent, with the goal of making the gospel known to more students. All of those things we do because we are believing in the next generation. We want them to have hope. That is why, not just me, but the people with me, these people right here, sila Nuts, sila Genti, my wife Aya, John, our upcoming campus missionary, and Maav. You know what, these guys, they could have gone on their separate career paths. No, Mav could have been an engineer, a software engineer. No, Haya, Nuts, Gente, they could have become nurses or done so much in the medical field. John, he could have been a celebrity in his own right. Okay? But these people, they understood the value, the weight of reaching, of investing the next generation, that they were willing to sacrifice, to give up those careers, to sit down, to meet with the students, because they know of the impact it's going to make when they invest in the next generation. Not just that, not just these people, but, you know, we go above and beyond for the next generation. Not just these people, but our kids' ministry teachers. You know, every Sunday, we're all here, we're enjoying the service. You know what? We have separate rooms there, right next door, and at the third floor. Kids' teachers teaching God to young people, young as 4 years old. Because we believe in the next generation. We value the next generation. These kids' teachers right here, every Sunday, while we are here in this main hall worshiping God, they are out there teaching God to the students, to the kids. They also believe, they also caught the vision that the next generation is important, that we need to reach the next generation, whatever it takes. Let me just share to you my personal testimony. That's me in my high school days. Okay? I know, I'm just scary. I'm mag chat lang, no? Pastor Archie was sharing a while ago that I was a product of campus ministry, and that's true. Before I became a campus missionary, I was an ordinary student. For all of you who are students here today, I was just like you. I went to school, I did all my things. I was a simple student. I had my challenges, I had my fears, I had my worries, I had my anxieties, I had things I was struggling with. I had things weighing me down. For a current generation here, you have no idea what our young students go through in the campus. But you know what? I was so grateful, I was so blessed that I got invited again to a youth service. And I got connected for one-to-one. Someone did disciple me. Okay, that guy right there is actually John. I was a student, and there was this guy who actually discipled me, taught about God to me. I had no idea. I had misconceptions. I had so many wrong things. People invested in my life. People believed in me. And for a current generation, you have no idea how much that means to the next generation when they get to hear that people believe in them. When they get to hear someone tell them, bro, you know what? I believe in you. You know, bro, you have so much potential. You know, bro, go pursue your dreams. Bro, you can do so much. Bro, you'll even be better than me. Bro, you can do this, you can do that. Bro, I believe in you. Do you know what? Those very simple words, they mean so much to the next generation. Those simple words right there, it doesn't take a professor or a master's degree in campus ministry to invest in the next generation. Guys, anyone can do that. Anyone can say to the nation, you know what? I believe in you. I want to be with you. Those simpler words go a long way and make an impact to the next generation. Do you know how much the next generation loves to hear those things from us? And as a student, I can tell you, it made a difference in my life. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't get married. I wouldn't have this life right here, right now, without the people who invested in my life when I was a student. Kita mo's picture before. Murag na ba ni future yung bata ni? I'm grateful for those very people who stepped out of their comfort zones, who went above and beyond to invest, to teach and mold me. And you know what? Every time we did do so to the next generation, we impact not just that person's life, but so many lives out there. Changing the world has no limit. Let me just leave you this thought as we end. The next generation is worth it. They are worth every sacrifice. They are worth every penny, every moment, everything that we do. They are worth it. I know that sometimes they can be frustrating. They can be challenging. Sometimes di na ako ma-match ang energy. But you know what? They are worth it. They may do things differently than us. They act differently from us, for those of us who are older. But that's how they are. They are young. Weren't we like that when we were young? Weren't we also different to the generation before us? The next generation is worth it. And for all of the next generation here, for all the students, you might think to yourself, I'm just this guy. Kuya Tom, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I did. You know what? Regardless of what you did, in Christ, you are worth it. You are worth so much that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus died on the cross that you may have a new life. So that you may have a new life that will make an impact in so many lives. You are worth it. The next generation is worth it. And we'll never get tired of saying that. We will always have to remind ourselves that they are worth it.